Welcome to Trapping Radio. This is your host, Clint Locklear, and we're going to be talking about East versus West trapping. And I'm going to do it kind of in a lazy way, but kind of for a good reason, guys. I had a phone call with a young gentleman about 2 days ago, and he's reading a lot of books, which is awesome. He's gathering information, and he's, because of personality reasons, I guess, the style of writing he likes better, all kind of different things, he has picked up on Western style trapping back in the 70s and 80s, and he's trying to recreate that in the East, in a very populated state with, you know, where a big farm is like 500 acres. And I talked to him for a while, and I was amazed. I guess it's like having biases. You're gonna have a hard time convincing me that the government can tell me I don't need an AR-15 or an AK-47. You're gonna have a really hard time. My bias tells me, from my life experience, being overseas, being in the military, watching the FBI today, watching the ATF, the way the federal government looks at citizens, that we don't need to be able to defend ourselves if they just keep getting crazier and crazier and crazier. That is my bias. So when you come up with any type of information, my brain automatically goes to, nope, Second Amendment shall not infringe. Now, could there be information out there that may make me change my mind on some of that stuff? Possibly. But it's going to be really hard, because my bias, my life experience, is there's really evil people in the world, and some of them work in our government. Some of them are bureaucrats. Some of them are people that just want to burn the world down. Some just like causing pain and chaos to others. And I'm looking now at what's going on with China, with Apple, and they're locking people in their buildings. And Apple's trying to lock people into the factory and not letting them leave, where they eat, sleep, and work for slave labor. Basically turning modern-day China people into slaves so people here can feel good about their Apple phones. And it started all these riots all over China, big riots. You know, and rioting is not something in Asian culture. It's not like Western culture. But I'm watching all these videos, and these people have had enough, because they realize they're just serfs, they're slaves to the communist elite and to corporations like Apple. And their life means nothing, only the production that they give. And most people want to have a little bit more in life than just being a financial slave for somebody else. Well, they're trying to fight back, and they can't. They're throwing their shoes, they're picking up rocks, they're trying to throw sticks. You know, they gain some ground every now and then. China just sends in more people. Now they're starting to just shoot people in the streets. Before long, they'll start bringing in tanks. They'll start bringing in military with rifles and just start mowing people down, because that's what communists do. And it's got to that point simply because they don't have AR-15s and AK-47s in every house. They don't have the ammo, so they're stuck throwing their shoes against people in riot gear with riot shields. So my bias tells me it's going to be really hard for someone to convince me there's a good reason for citizens with a government not to have a way to protect themselves against that government. Because the way all governments always seem to end up, which is very tyrannical. And then we have an option at that point in the history of that time to stand up or submit. But we have the option if we have arms. So that's the bias. Well, the bias from this young man was he's fully believed what he'd read in a time that was see, what is it, 218, so let's say, say 20 years, 43, 45, 48 years ago, which we don't live in that same world, we don't have the same laws, and in a place in the country that he doesn't live, and he's getting very frustrated because he's about to kill himself physically, trying to run like he's in, you know, wide open high desert of Wyoming somewhere, and he's not. So what I want to do is talk a little bit about the difference between the East and the West today, and the way I'm going to do it is out of my Eastern Woofer book. And as y'all know, I'm not the best reader in the world, so it may get a little uncomfortable every now and then, but I hope you'll bear with me on that. But before we do, I want to thank our sponsors. We have really good sponsors on Trapping Radio. We have F&T Fur Harvesters. I just saw a TikTok video from Jeff where they finally got the new signs up at F&T, and they look good. You know, store, they sell the online, the amazing company. The amount of volume that they sell and the amount of happy customers they have in the modern day world is pretty amazing. So if you're looking for trapping supplies, because they got everything you need for trapping, they got everything you need for coon hunting, and they got everything you need for predator calling. So give F&T a try. Then we have Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They have everything that you want for trapping. They sell copper trap tags. They sell stuff for hunting and fishing and all of that. But see, with that, all my sponsors, all this stuff I'm talking about is secondary to why you want to work with these people. They have your interest at heart. Alan does at Funky. Ralph and Sean do at F&T. Jeb does at Oki Cable and Trap. And Jeff Dunlap does with Dunlap Lures. These guys that sponsor the show, all four of those are sponsors. There's times in every business's evolution where you have to make decisions. Am I going to be a squared away company and not try to take advantage of people even if I can? Or am I going to go for the easy dollar and hopefully retain enough customers, even though I treat most people like crap? And my sponsors have not taken the latter, they've taken the first. And that's why they're sponsors. Whether that's Jeb at Oki Cable and Trap, got all that good trapping stuff he's got. Jeff Dunlap's got all amazing good baits and lures that you can actually trust. All my sponsors are my sponsors for a reason. I do business with them. I know how they do business, and I know how they're going to do business with you. And that is what you're looking for in 2022. So, what I want to do, I don't know if this is going to be a full show or not, but as far as time goes, but I'm reading, and I probably won't be able to contain myself and have some comments, out of my Eastern Woofer book. Since I wrote this, I don't know if it says when I wrote the book or not. I don't guess it does. See, I wrote this when I was trapping away from home at Eagle Pass in Texas, in June or July, where it was miserable hot. And I was writing this in the evenings because it was a long contract that I was under. So that's probably 10, 12, 13, maybe 15 years ago that I wrote this. And it still sells amazingly well today because I think a lot of people tell their friends about it. But I tried to write this book. I don't talk about my own lures in there. I'm not trying to promote myself in here. I'm trying to explain how I went from catching some coyotes to be able to catch a lot of coyotes and the difference between commercial trapping, hobby trapping, and being a predator control guy, what those different mindsets are, how you can mix and match to get exactly what you want to happen in your coyote trapping by understanding those differences and be able to apply those differences out on your own trap line. That's kind of what this book is. It's somewhat motivational, I guess, some people have said. Others, it's just very technical. But the whole purpose of the book is to get you as a coyote trapper to think. And not to just believe whatever it is that a lot of people automatically just jump on. So, towards the front of the book, I've got a chapter that's called East versus West. If you talk to Eastern trappers as much as I do, you will hear this statement over and over. What works in the West does not work in the East. Well, this may be true in a few instances, but for the most part, this is not true. I could say something here to stroke the Eastern man's feathers, but why? Just going with a normal, political, correct, easy response does no one any good. This statement about Western methods not pertaining to the East is crazy. Just think about it. Who has been chasing and killing hundreds of thousands of coyotes since the 20s? Coyotes in the East, for the most part, have not been a big factor. The coyote population in the East has only been high in the last 20 or 30 years. Now in the West, they have been chasing coyotes in a professional manner for about a century. In the East, Red Fox was king. Most of the techniques of the Eastern mentality came from the fox, not the coyote. Still today, guys, most people try to fox trap coyotes. Sure, there are guys catching some coyotes. Just how many guys in the East were catching 100 coyotes a year? Really catching 100 coyotes a year, guys, is what I'm talking about. How about 500 or 1,000 a year? The only one I know of, we talked about, I guess, last week or the week before, was Waddell catching those numbers in the East. But it's very uncommon. And all throughout history, that's not an uncommon catch for someone that concentrates on coyotes in the West. In the West, guys are trapping anywhere from a couple hundred a month to over 1,000 a year. The Western concept of trapping coyotes did come from coyotes. This should get your attention if you were to decide to follow a style of trapping. What I'm trying to say, guys, is Eastern coyote trapping is not, for the most part, based off coyote trapping coyotes. It's off of fox. So if you're going to look at techniques, the actual mindset of the coyote, you're doing better off to go for a method that is based off of coyote trapping and not trying to force coyotes into fox style sets. There are some differences in Western trapping that should be understood. These differences are not about putting steel to a coyote, but they are in other areas. This is where it gets crazy for most guys. They don't look at the trap line of a coyote over a season in a expanded enough way that they understand the difference between East and West. Some of these differences are in laws, population, trap checks, weather, large tracts of ground, and equipment restrictions. I have some restrictions are reservations on bringing these differences to light. I fear some guys will use them to make themselves feel better about rationalizing their lack of numbers. With the right mindset, understanding about coyotes, and work ethic, you can take a large number of coyotes in the East, South, and Midwest. Now we're going to talk about the coyote populations. I still stand by this, because I've trapped in 25 different states, guys. That's not bragging. That was my business. The business that was based off reputation in QDMA, quality deer management, and deer breeding ranches. That's what I did. So they're not all in one state. They all kind of know each other, kind of like trappers do. So besides fur trapping that I did in certain states, I went to different states because that's what my job had me do. So 25, that's half the states in the country. Coyote populations. We hear that the West has more coyotes. This makes them more competitive and easier to trap. Well, guys, I hate to bust that bubble, but for the most part, it is not true. For the most part today, the East holds more coyotes. Before you burn this book, I will admit that there are parts of the West that do hold a lot of coyotes. I have seen a very large population in South New Mexico. We want to understand the population in relationship to the amount of acreage that they live on. Most of the West has coyote populations with a family group living on about 12 to 18 square miles. Other parts of the West have family groups living on 20 plus square miles. In the West, there are a lot of areas where there are no coyotes. I'm going to step in here for a second. When the first time I went out and took instruction from Craig, what blew me away as a young trapper is we were actually working on sheep depredation where coyotes were coming in and killing sheep. That's what he was doing when I was giving instruction. It took us an hour and a half to find a single coyote track. Two grown men looking out windows and walking around draws and everything like that in Broadus, Montana. I think we were still in Broadus. But somewhere around there in Montana. Now, Craig has worked on those coyotes for decades. But in my mind, because of the number of coyotes that Craig was taking on a yearly basis, there had to be coyotes behind every bush. And when I went out there and I got actual experience on the ground with those coyotes, I was dumbfounded how hard it was to find coyote sign, and the ground was set up to see sign. I'm walking this morning. I walk every morning for about 30 minutes just try to keep my heart working right. And while I'm walking 30 minutes from my house in Tennessee, I come across three distinct piles of coyote crap in the middle of the asphalt road. And it took an hour and a half in Montana to find coyote tracks. In the West, there are a lot of areas that have no coyotes. Unlike the East, a lot of the West has large tracts of ground that do not support much wildlife. Back in the East, we now have a lot of coyotes. The South now probably holds as many coyotes per square mile as most of Texas. I still stand by that. I have not found any studies in the East that document the average coyote per square mile. I've talked to biologists with the hopes of getting such a study started. All have said the same thing. The land is too varied to get any type of scientific baseline and consistency. The East has old growth, new growth, hardwoods, pine forest. We have mountains, rolling hills, cropland, high human population, wildlife managed and unmanaged areas. In places like Montana, Wyoming, Kansas, Texas, they have hundreds of miles of the same type of landscape and vegetation. Because the West has more consistent terrain, a baseline can be determined and a study can ensue. So basically, we in the East have no studies to tell us how many coyotes we have per square mile. What I'm looking at when I say that a lot of the East, the South, has as many coyotes as they do out West or even in Texas is because of experience trapping coyotes. I've trapped both. That's where that comes from. Not because I want to say it, just because I truly believe it. We can look at different reports that states that keep about numbers of coyotes that can be tracked through fur control and live markets, spend a little time on the internet and talk to a state biologist in the states that you're interested in. You will find that most of the East has a massive coyote kill when the fur prices are high. You will also see that most of the East and the Midwest states take more coyotes than Western, quote, coyote numbers, quote, states. I don't know how states track these numbers, but it is interesting to look at. The numbers show a lot of coyotes taken, but few numbers men are known in these states. You hardly hear about Eastern guys taking 100 to 3 coyotes individually. However, more coyotes are being taken. Common sense would tell you that in the East, there are more trappers taking fewer coyotes each. The thing to keep in mind is that these coyotes are there to take. As far as the Western coyotes being more competitive, I don't see it and don't believe it. One nice thing about a lot of state hopping is the hands-on experience you get in different regions. On the Teachers of the Night flat sit video, you can see for yourself if coyotes are truly competitive. You will see 3 to 4 coyotes working a set. They know the food is there, but they do not bum rush the sea. But not once do they bum rush the bait to be the one that gets the prize. This theory has been made by assuming that coyotes think and act like a house dog. In reality, each coyote takes its turn checking out the set. As one coyote gets close to the set, the other one hangs out in the background. I know this theory sounds good and makes guys feel better about saying that if they were in the West, they would be taking a high number of competitive coyotes that they hear about because these mythical competitive coyotes are easier to catch. What these guys would find out if they can't keep up high numbers in the East, then could they do it in the West? Then changing the Eastern guys may see. Let me get my glasses on a second, guys. Just changing the side of the country where one traps does not change the results. Eastern guys may want to think that Western trappers are more easily caught because they are more competitive, but this is nothing but wishful thinking. Another case in point showing that theory is nothing of an idea without the experience to back it up. Now, when I wrote that book, say 10 years ago, I have changed my view on that a little bit, guys, and I'm going to be honest. I've talked to too many people that are from the East that catch like 30 to 50 coyotes in a season in the East. And they go to Kansas or Nebraska and they're catching 100, 150 coyotes. I've taught guys from the East that goes to South Dakota, catches about 80 to 100 coyotes in the East, bouncing between 3 and 350 in South Dakota. When I talk to the trappers, the interesting thing is most of the time they don't think the coyote's easier to catch. The way the land is laid out, the locations are more distinct because you don't have a road or a crossroad every, 100 yards. It's more, so when something changes in the environment, it's more obvious. The fields are bigger, so there's more dead area, stuff's more concentrated where you got some cover. And they can hit more of these over a day because the tracts of land are so big. So obviously, you can take a 50 coyote year guy that wants to work hard, send him to Kansas, and he'll probably come back with 150 coyotes. Now, what I've also noticed since I wrote this book from talking to a lot of people is when guys come from the West to the East, that is not very good carryover for the Western trappers. Most of them can do very good in their home environment, and you stick them in very thick cover with a lot of roads, a lot of population, smaller farms, and someone that catches 200 or 300 coyotes out there struggles to catch 50 here. I do think most trappers, if they would spend enough time in the East, would figure it out. But I think most Western trappers, when you stick them in a very densely populated small farm, a lot of cover, a lot of dirt roads, a lot of pines, thickets, swamps, stuff like that, they're trying to mimic what they're doing out West in the East, and they get killed because it is very different. I'm not saying one's easier than the other. It's just very different. And if you don't adapt to that, you're going to get waxed. And that's what happens a lot. I will admit that there are parts of the East that have low coyote numbers. I've seen this up around Jeff's place. If you're up around Alpena, Michigan, or you're up in Upper Michigan, and you catch 80 coyotes, and honest to goodness, really 80 coyotes, dude, you're a stud. I mean, you're like walking with a third leg, you're such a stud. Out West, nobody even paying attention to that. And I've been with Jeff enough up there to know the reason is he don't have the coyote numbers there like I do in Tennessee, or I've been in Georgia or Kentucky or Mississippi, North Carolina, Virginia. You just don't have the numbers. I've been in parts of Pennsylvania where finding coyote sign was not that easy. Thinking you're going to catch 300 coyotes in the really rough parts of probably middle Pennsylvania, that's going to be tough. The coyotes' numbers are not that high. They move around a lot. They're not at the same areas very often. It gets crazy. I've seen that in around Branson, Missouri. It's big timber, not a lot of coyote numbers. You're not going to have a bunch of coyotes that are working the same ground every night. You may only get a chance every week or two to even catch the coyotes that are there. And then you may not see them again for another couple weeks. Okay. In Maryland, Northern Virginia, Eastern Pennsylvania, some of the states on the coast of New England area, there are few coyotes. The rest of the East has a nice coyote population to work with. To put things in perspective, if the coyote population in the East had only one family group of coyotes per 18 square miles, you would, for the most part, only have 2 to 12 coyotes per square mile, which isn't the case. If a coyote per square 18-mile radius, which isn't C, if on Eastern trappers were to be honest, he would have to admit that coyote sign is not hard to find in the East. Most side roads have tracks and scat on them. The next road and trail has the same. This can be repeated on adjoining properties. I cannot say what our population is in the East, but I can go off of my catching in the East over the last few years. I've seen a pattern of my coyote lines. On about 1,600 square miles, I seem to average 16 coyotes the first year. That's by keeping records, guys. Now keep in mind that this is what I kill, not what is there. I know that I'm not taking 100% of the coyotes off 1,600 acres, which translates to 2.5 square miles. Now that equals to 6.4 coyotes per square mile. To add injury to this idea, what the West has more coyotes than the East, I don't catch that many coyotes per square mile in South Texas with steel traps. In South Texas, on my average ranch of 4.68 square miles, I take 31 coyotes. This is 6.26 coyotes killed per square mile. Plus in Texas, I have a lot of high fence to work with, and that helps whack the coyote population pretty hard. I've heard that West Texas has a population of 8 coyotes per square mile. This has been thought of to be the highest coyote density in the country. So we need to be honest with ourselves. If I'm catching close to 6.4 coyotes per square mile in the East, then how high is our population? These numbers are from several different locations in different states in the East. Is anywhere in the East going to have this many coyotes per square mile? No. Randy Smith in the Midwest has taken over 20 coyotes in a day and around 180 in a couple of weeks. I know this when I was in Maine, just about every road that I looked on had coyote sign on it. Bill Bailey sure has no problem taking nice numbers of coyotes in New Hampshire in a short amount of time. Montero Valentine in Louisiana takes way over 100 coyotes for the live market, and he is in his 80s. Bob Wendt in Indiana, when he was trapping coyotes in Indiana, took large numbers of coyotes for the live market. I know of a live market trapper in Georgia that takes 300 to 400 coyotes a year. Slim Peterson and Bob Young also made some amazing catches of coyotes in only a few weeks. Matt Jones can put 6 to 8 coyotes in the truck on most days on public ground in Kentucky. I've trapped some of the same ground as Matt. Where he traps, there is low coyote numbers, but with good access. In Mississippi, there's a live market trapper that regularly takes 45 to 60 coyotes per year on about 2,000 acres with large commercial fish ponds. This is an unusual fish source, but is repeated across much of Mississippi. I also know a live market trapper that takes over 40 coyotes and less than 1,000 acres in the east behind chicken houses, so to say the west has more coyotes than the east makes no sense to me. I have no doubt that 30 to 40 years ago this would be the case, but times have changed. Population densities are a complex subject. The densities are based off what the population is on average in an area. What makes this complex is the number is always changing and evolving. On wet years of the year, after a wet year, most of the time the coyote population will go up. On wet years, there is more plant life, which means there should be more rats, bugs, fawns, rabbits. Mother Nature makes corrections in the birth rate of predators because there's more food and water. During long droughts, there's less coyote cover. Prey animals and the birth rate on coyotes are smaller. The coyote's habitat is in consistent flux. It may get better or worse. There could be fires, logging, different farm crops, no planting on a farm, human expansion that could push the coyotes out or into smaller environments. In certain years, control work, fur trapping, pressure, sport hunting, disease could really change the population. Plus, not all the ground in the area will hold the same amount of coyotes per square mile. I've been in the mountains with old growth hardwoods and the population was low, but just 10 miles away in the valley, farm country, coyotes were running around every farm lane. Today we have a new breed of landowners. Some are tree huggers, some let things go wild for the environment. Until this turns old growth, there will be a lot of cover, which results in more coyotes. Also, in the last 10 to 15 years, hunters have turned into land managers and land manipulators. They grow food plots, perform control burns, cut old growth, make clear cuts, keep lots of edges, cover for different game. Some of these places can hold a tremendous and artificially high number of prey and predator numbers. In flux. I've been out to New Mexico 1 year, average 18 coyotes a day. The same guy I trapped with went out with his by himself the next year, caught 4. Total, 2 weeks, 4 coyotes. Distemper or parvo ran through those coyotes and killed them. Stuff changes all the time. One reason some of the West has such a low population is the land does not support a lot of prey animals and this is in lacking in water. Another reason is the bad soil conditions and poor vegetation. I personally believe the opposite is the reason coyote population has exploded in the last few decades in the East. The coyotes have it made in the East. There's a lot of water, cover, and food. There are also the changing habits of people from rural to city-minded environmentalists, which all promote a lack of predator control. We also need to keep in mind that the coyote's home range has nothing to do with property deeds, property lines, or trapper's permission slips. Let's say you have a farm that is 15 to 1600 acres. That's a little over 2 square miles. Let's also say that you have a population of 5 coyotes per square mile. you should have 10 to 12 coyotes on this property, right? Well, this could be the case, but probably not. There's a good chance in having two family groups that border on the property. You could just as easily have 3 to 4 coyotes home range boundaries meeting on this 1,500 acres. So in reality, you could have 15 to 20 coyotes to work with. Plus, we cannot exclude the coyotes that cross boundaries during breeding season, dispersal, natural crossings, and the hunting grounds on and around the property. You could have 20 to 35 or more coyotes to work with. These numbers are more realistic over 2 to 3 weeks to several months. You might just have the 10 or 12 coyotes to trap, but this is not what I found to be the true, found out to be true over several eastern states during different times of the year. The abundant food that is in the east is a major contributor to the smaller home ranges. A coyote does not burn energy to cover 18 square miles for the fun of it. A coyote covers this amount of ground to feed his stomach or the stomach of his pups. What I'm saying is, the reason they travel so far out west is they have to travel that far out west, guys. In most areas. In the east, they don't have to travel that far. There's a lot of food here. Predators do not waste energy for the sake of wasting energy. They're not training for a triathlon. They're going to do is the minimum they need to do to survive. I'm sure that if you would take food to them, they would only cover ground enough to pee on some bushes and perform a little pleasure killing. Now I'm going to talk about trap check laws. Let's see how long this is. And then that'll probably be it for today. The West does have a major advantage over eastern states in the form of trap check laws. Now before I continue on, some of this has changed since I wrote the book. And a lot of this has changed since a lot of the books were written in the 70s or 80s. So please keep that in mind. You'll find a lot of 48-hour, 72-hour, and no trap law checks. Like it or not, this is hard to overcome. A 24-hour trap check will always lose to a 48-hour trap check. A 24-hour trap check will get its feelings hurt against a 72-hour trap check. Now, a 24-hour trap check will get its brain smashed in when it goes against a 5 to 7 day trap check. In this regard, most trapping ideas have been based on the advantage of longer trap checks. And what I'm talking about is the Western methods. This little fact is often overlooked when an Eastern trapper makes judgments on his style of trap line management. It is easy to do. Where have most of the coyote numbers been formed? Where are the big predator photos made? Where have most books and videos on predator trapping been made? Where are the big names in the coyote world based out of? Where have most of the woofers and their knowledge been written about? The West. That's right. The information and tactics that come from states that have never had to look at a trap every 24 to 36 hours. We can complain and whine about this fact, but it will do us little good. Let's take a look at some of the factors on longer trap checks. I know there are a lot of trappers who will think that every trap should be looked at every 24 hours, no matter what the law says. Well, I'm not going to try and change an opinion on this subject. There are many factors that may be the reason for this attitude, and I would have to guess that most cat trappers would think this way are either live market trappers or men that forgot the purpose of trapping is to catch the most amount of animals in the shortest amount of time. I guess there is a chance that this attitude comes from the idea that performance trapping is not important. Most modern tricked out trappers are traps, drags, shock springs, An animal in a trap is in no more stress in 72 hours than a trap that's been in there for 24. I have watched coyotes, cats, fox, coon, beaver with night vision. And the massive struggle and panic is just not there. Most of the fight is over within 5 minutes. The problem is that people try to put themselves in an animal situation. We have an imagination. We stress over the future. Animals don't think or stress like we do. I'm not going to pretend that I know what is going on in an animal's head. I can make a logical conclusion by watching them. What they are not worried, that they are not worried or panicked. They lay around like they are on an overstuffed couch, quickly falling asleep. They struggle. The struggle we trappers see as we pull up on the animal is because we are there and they know we're coming. Something's coming. The power of extra days between trap checks acts like a force multiplier. What I'm getting to say can be a factor or not. Some trappers in the West fail to see the gift that they have in not having a 24-hour trap check. Let's use a realistic trap line and add the force multiplier. No matter what you have read by superheroes that coyote trap, a good trapper will be able to run around 50 to 125 traps a day. That's probably pretty realistic, guys. In some of the desert public areas, maybe a wild man can run 150 traps. To keep this realistic, let's say a trapper can run 70 traps in a 24-hour period. From talking to many serious and honest coyote men, this is about the average. This number would be a little high in most of the East due to gates, dead areas, cities, neighborhoods. All the landowners will not let a person trap, so every 24 hours a trap can run 75 traps. This means that every 24 hours he has a chance to catch 75 catches on the coyote population. This is on his trap line. If the same trapper were a go-getter, he would lay out a second line of 75 traps the next day for a 48-hour trap check. This trapper has 150 chances a night to catch coyotes that he is on. More coyotes due to being in more family groups of coyotes. A 72-hour trap check, a trapper would have 225 chances. On a 5-day check, the trapper would have 375 chances per night, again, to be on the ground with more coyotes. A 7-day check would give the same trapper that is looking at 75 traps 525 chances per night to be on even more coyotes. Now, the Eastern trapper is still only at 75 chances per night to catch coyotes. His coyotes and every coyote he takes is drastically taking his local coyote numbers down. Where the 48, 72, 120, and 166-hour trap check is on so much ground that each coyote does not take his next victim's numbers down as much as a 24-hour trap check. With all things being equal, it is almost impossible for 75 chances to compete with 375 or 525 chances. Guys, surely someone can look at that and go, yeah, that's a massive, massive advantage over 24-hour trap check. 75 to 525. Another way to look at this is if the guy's running that many traps, because he's setting new trap lines every day, you're trying to compete with somebody in a week when they get to count their catch over a month. So you get a week to catch yours, he's got a month to catch his. Who do you think's going to win? Just think back on what your daily average is. Times this number may be 2, 3, 5, 7. If you could catch your weekly or even half of your weekly average every day, just how many animals would you be shipping to Canada? True, some traps will take more than one animal in a certain amount of time period, but you get the idea. Let's assume that our 75 traps are covering enough ground to have the opportunity to catch 50 coyotes. This will not be exact because not all ground will hold the same amount of coyotes. Every day on a 24-hour check, you would have 50 coyotes that have the chance to get into 75 traps. On a 3-day check, each night you would have 150 coyotes with a chance to get in to 225 traps. On a 5-day check, you would have 250 coyotes that have the opportunity to step in 375 traps. This should put things in perspective for a man that wants or needs coyote standing in traps, not waiting around for their turn. Trap opportunity per week, per month, per season in regards to longer trap checks is an eye-opener. We will keep the same 75 traps for an example. In a week, the 24-hour trap check gives a trapper 525 chances to catch a coyote. 48 hours will give the trapper 1,050 chances. 72 hours is 1,575 chances. A 5-day check gives a trapper 2,625 chances. And I don't know about you, but I will take the odds against 2,625 to 525 any day of the week. Per month, the totals are 24-hour trap checks will be 2,100 chances, 48 will be 4,200 chances, 72-hour trap check will be 6,300 chances per month. A 5-day check will blow your mind at 10,500 chances. These numbers come out per month per season as follows. 24 is 8,400. 48 is 16,800. 72 is 25,020. And a 5-day check is 42,000 checks per season. A trapper could trap every day of the year on a 24-hour check and not come close to a man that runs 75 traps a day for 4 months on a 5-day check. I understand there are all kinds of ways to tweak my example, but the fact will always remain the same. A longer trap check is better for numbers and cost. The Eastern trapper that looks at his traps every 24 hours is incurring about the same fuel cost in time as the man is looking at different traps for 2 to 5 days before he sees the first trap again. This may seem long-winded and tedious, but it has a few important factors. There are Eastern trappers, Eastern trapper men need to understand. One, long lining principles have been developed and perfected off of longer trap checks, period. And the force multiplier. Because of the extra days, more family groups of coyotes will be targeted and that take the easy animals on easy locations was and still is used today in the West. Two, the distance and ground covered on the classic long line is mind-blowing. The short shot of miles per day check would be about 100 miles per day on the odometer. So in 5 days, that would mean a trapper was covering 500 miles to cover his traps on a 5-day check. If you study the real numbers men, they seem to have covered about 200 miles a day. This means on a 5-day check, the trapper is covering about 1,000 miles per 5 days. This means he was trapping the same as a line in Middle Georgia to New York State. Let that sink in. Basically what I'm saying, because I'm screwing up the reading, the amount of miles that a trapper on a 5-day check is running, because you don't have to look at the same traps and you extend that out. It's like running a trap line from Georgia to New York. And you think you're going to compete with that in one county with 75 traps? I mean, you'd have to be a hell of a trapper is all I'm saying. Since this is impossible to do on an eastern trap line, why are we trapping in a style that is based off of a 500 to 1,000 mile trap line? Keep in mind that we are talking about coyotes now, not water or bridge trapping. 100 to 200 miles a day is possible on a road line in the east, but a land line is a different story. In the east, on a coyote line, you may be running around on back roads, farm and logging roads, but this is vastly different than making a 200 mile loop in prairie or desert country. We will soon be covering how to make a higher number of coyotes per square mile instead of taking a small number of coyotes over a 500 to 1,000 mile trap line. In closing, when I talk about a coyote trapper getting better, where he can take more coyotes per square mile, I'm referring to eastern trappers. The reason I think this is more important is because we do not have the laws, the trap checks, the land access as people do in the West. I don't hate them for that. I'm like, that's awesome. But unless you're in it, it doesn't do you any good. So you can either, like this gentleman that called me, base everything you're trying to do off of somewhere you're not, with laws you don't have, and the amount of miles that you can't cover, or you can focus on where you're at and what you have and what you can do in a day on a 24-hour trap check, and you can build a plan off of the reality that you find yourself into. And that reality is, to be quite honest, as far as I can tell, my little pea brain, you have to be able to catch more coyotes per square mile because you can't run but so many miles in a day on a 24-hour trap check. I'm not saying you should trap just like I do when I'm doing predator control, but you should be leaning towards that. Where you set your sets up, maybe with multiple traps, so when you do come in contact with a coyote, you have the coyote. You probably set more locations than the two on a farm and go. You start looking at travel ways instead of just the picture book, you know, locations. Start using Google Maps and stuff where you can see how stuff's going to flow through an area and lock those up tighter than a drum. If you're in the East, you got to trap like you're in the East, guys. That's where you're at. That may not be where your hero's at, and maybe one day you'll get to go out somewhere with a 72-hour trap check in a high desert somewhere and run to your little, your boots are wore out to little nubs and you're through your 14, 15 pairs of leather gloves because you wore them out. And that'll be awesome. I hope everybody gets to experience that. But if you're in the East and you're trying to trap like you're in the West, don't get upset when you don't get the results of the West because you're playing a different game. The rules are different. You got to play the game that you're in. Like, I've started playing golf with my neighbors. The game of golf has got rules. Now, to me, the game would be a lot more fun if you could take a 12-gauge with birdshot, and when they're hitting the ball, you could shoot their ball out of the air, that they would have to hit the ball from wherever it landed from. But that's not the game that I play. And if I'm on a 24-hour trap check, I can't set it up like I've got a 5-day trap check. Because I don't. If I don't have huge tracts of ground, I can't set my trap line up like I have huge tracts of ground. I've got smaller tracts of ground. I need to be able to dig and scratch more coyotes out of the ground than I have because I don't have the theoretical big tracts of ground. That's all I'm trying to say. Trap for where you're at, not from where you want to be. And your success will be better. And I think that's all our goals. Now go get them.